And here we are back, WWGH Radio, the early show on a Tuesday, August the 27th, 2019. I believe the last Tuesday in August. Labor Day coming up on Monday, 16 minutes past the hour. And we're having a fun time going through the travel log of Jeff and Brian Ruth here. And this hour, we are going to talk about some international travels that have happened as of late and in the last few years. But want to start by asking Brian, how you got this job?
I had always been interested in travel. Jeff had a high school buddy that lives in Chicago, and we used to do a guys trip, started back in the early mid-90s, and we'd go to a location we've never been before. And so I've always loved to travel, and so I went to once I graduated high school, I went on to Ohio State and majored in communications, and kind of got interested in kind of being in sports information or media relations. And the older I got, the more I didn't want to read and write, I guess. I was just getting too tired of it. So I'm like, well, let me try to express more interest in pursuing the traveling area. And I thought maybe being a travel agent at like AAA or, would be great. Travel agencies were kind of, 15, 20 years ago, kind of dying off. A lot more people are, turning to the internet. So I got into the airline industry, got an interview back in 2011 with Delta, got hired in 2011. And I took my first Amtrak trip back in 2004. First time basically riding on the rails. Went from Chicago to Denver. And I kind of took an interest in working for the railroad. So I worked for Delta for 3.5 years and got a job offer through Norfolk Southern up in Bellevue as a freight conductor. So I went down to Georgia for 3 weeks, trained down there, and the job was a lot different than what I thought it was going to be. It was, I thought, well, you just, being a conductor on the railroad, you just get on a train and go. Well, I didn't know you had to put the train together and, deal with a lot of stuff along the road. Sit into a siding for 3 hours waiting for traffic to go by. And so I went into Amtrak and worked for Amtrak for a little bit, but then I missed the flying. I really did. I mean, free flying has its great perks, and it's the only Delta is the only company where, time does not stand still. I mean, I work 8.5 hours a day, and it doesn't feel like work to me, and it's contributing a lot with the people I work with, just doing the job. I love doing the job. I love bringing in planes, pushing them out, just trying to get that, talking to different passengers. And but the free flying is a good perk. And also the scheduling. Hey, I'm going out of town next week. I would ask somebody, hey, would you mind picking up my shift? No, that'd be great. And somebody who is traveling in 2 weeks needs a day off, I'll be glad to pick those hours up for them, because I know in the future I may need, a day off, and then they could, switch. So we're able to do that at our job. We have a lot of flexibility, and that way I can, take a lot of trips. And I knew once Jeff retired that I wanted to spend at least the summer and sometime early fall to do a lot of traveling.
So in a typical week, how many hours do you work?
So usually we have what we call part-time and full-time employees. Part-time employees work about 25 to 28 hours a week, and full-time employees work 40 to about 45, 50 hours a week. And it just depends on if there's any late aircrafts, especially at night. I work at night, so work 4:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. A lot is the shift. And if you have a flight that comes in late from like Boston or New York that comes in at 2:30 in the morning, you have to stay and work that flight. We are not a 24-hour station. Our last, basically, the last plane gets in about 12:30 in the morning, so the second shift gets off at 1 a.m., and then the morning shift starts at 3:30 a.m. So we're closed for about 2.5 hours, but if you do have a late flight, you have to stay for that late flight to work.
And free travel for the family.
That is correct. Immediate family, and also both my mom and dad, and then we get what we call a companion. So if I, you know, had a girlfriend or had a best friend that travels a lot, I can make them as a companion, and then they would pay maybe 10% or 15% of what a ticket would cost. So they get a reduced discount. And then what we call, we get six what we call buddy passes a year. So I can hand out buddy passes if I want to people. However, you know, to go from Columbus to Orlando might be $150, $200 round trip. But you are flying on standby. And we like to say, if you don't like anybody, give them a buddy pass, because they won't like you definitely when they get back. We were flying one time out to Phoenix to the Fiesta Bowl to see Ohio State play, and we had to fly in and out of Tucson, Arizona, because I couldn't get any flights in and out of Phoenix. And there was a guy who was on a buddy pass in Minneapolis, and he had been at the airport for about 3 days stranded getting to Tucson. And he was on the phone, and he said it might be another day or two before he was able to get out. So this poor guy was on a buddy pass, spending 5 days in Minneapolis in late December, early January, trying to get back home. And yeah, so I've handed out, I think, like three buddy passes my whole career since I've worked with Delta.
Jeff, what was your first trip you took where you didn't have to pay anything? Where'd you go?
Went to Anchorage.
Oh, that was the Anchorage trip.
That was a trip to Alaska.
First one.
And then we did Hawaii after that, which turned out to be Vermont. But I had flown a couple times up until he got the job, but I had never flown, you know, very much. And then when he got the job, it's like, you know, this is fun. You know, it's easy to do. You can go anywhere in the world that Delta travels, and you can go for free. And that's a pretty good deal. And we had hit a lot of the U.S., and it's like, I'd like to go to Europe sometime. So they have a hub in Amsterdam. So we went to Amsterdam. And again, you leave, basically most of our trips go out of New York, JFK. And with the time difference, most trips leave out of JFK between about 7 and 10 o'clock in the evening. So you get to Europe, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. So you're basically there Tuesday, you get a room Tuesday night. Wednesday you have for sightseeing. Wednesday night you get a room. And then you come back. Usually the planes leave like around noon on Thursday, something like that. So you have about 2 full days that you're in the city. So, you know, you're not there for a week at a time, but you can get a pretty good feel of the city for, 48 hours. And we went to the Netherlands and really liked it. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of Europe is, you know, English. It's you go into a restaurant and they kind of ask you, you know, like language, and you're French, Spanish, German, or whatever. And just about everybody, especially that deals with the public, speaks multiple languages, and especially in the big cities. Now, we've never really ventured outside of a main city, but in the main cities, English is spoken. A lot of the signs are in English. So you can pretty much, you know, get around, and it wasn't as much of a hassle as I thought it would be. And it's like, yeah, that was fun. So let's do another trip. And we've just progressed, and we get to go first class, which makes a huge difference. If you're in the middle, back in row 38, you don't sleep very much. But in first class, they upgrade because it's so expensive to go first class. So if you're an employee or an employee family, they'll upgrade you to first class. So every time we've gone to Europe, we've gone first class. And you walk onto the plane, they give you a glass of champagne or a glass of wine. You sit down, you have a really nice dinner, a couple of drinks, the beds fold out. I mean, they make into a complete bed, give you, you know, you got a blanket and pillow, and, you know, you can really sleep pretty well on the planes, and you get there the next morning, it's like you've slept for 6 hours and you're ready to go.
When you fly on standby in the United States, Canada, going to the Caribbean, you have passenger upgrades. So your frequent flyer miles, frequent flyer people, they have upgrades. So you may get domestically, if I'm flying from Columbus to LA, I might have 60 upgrades. So there's no way on earth we're going to be able to get first class. Flying domestic, I have got first class just a handful of times out of all the times I've flown. But when you go to Europe, when you go to Africa, when you go to Australia, when you go to Asia and those markets, frequent flyer people do not get upgrades. They get what they call, they get 8 certificates a year for upgrades. So if you're a million mile or mile person who does frequent flyer, around the world, you can use one of those certificates for an upgrade. Now, those certificates don't show up onto TravelNet, which I look at, until within 24 hours. So these seats going to Europe, these aircrafts, you can have 40 seats up front on an A330, 40 first class seats, and you may only have 10 people that have paid for seats. So you got 30 seats that remain up front, which is it's an employee's dream to get that, because you know you're going to get business class. And when I look at flying to Europe, the return trip is a big thing, because I want to know at least I have seats available up front where I can fly back up front in business class. So the return trip is big, but the way I gauge it is I can leave the United States on any flight if I want to, but coming back is the big issue. And about 3 weeks ago, we flew to JFK, and for about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, we're going to go to Copenhagen, Denmark. I wanted to go to Copenhagen. But within the day of the trip, more and more employees that had higher seniority started listing on the flight. So now the seats that had 8 seats up front went down to 6, went down to 4. When we went to Columbus to the airport to check in, I said, I don't see us going to Copenhagen tonight, because I don't think we're going to be able to make the flight. And so you have a couple of cities that are backups, and Barcelona, Spain was a backup. And I said, I think we'll be able to get to and from Barcelona to fly business class up front. So that's where we ended up. We ended up going to Barcelona, Spain instead of Copenhagen a couple of weeks ago.
I brought this is a menu that I brought in. Linton Hopkins, who is the Delta One executive chef. The onset of spring brings new life and fresh beginnings like no other seasons. As a chef, the delicate flavors that emerge are enchanting and truly inspire the heart of each spring menu. Freshly dug new potatoes, sweet first of season Vidalia onions, bright herbs, and crisp spring greens. Spring's bountiful offerings are ever present on this menu, from cold smoked trout with pickled red onion and pumpernickel streusel to vegetable lasagna full of earthy mushrooms and delicate squash. You'll find a balance of reinvigorating flavors that characterize the arrival of springtime. So the folks back in Coach, they're maybe getting a hamburger.
And that's all it says, hamburger.
That's for the fan.
They don't get the big long. So spring has come.
So with us, they start us with the signature cocktail, followed by the premium heated nut mix, cold smoked trout with whipped cream cheese, pickled red onion, and pumpernickel streusel, followed by the Caesar aviator salad, with Parmesan croutons, followed by the creamy Vidalia onion soup, followed by the selection of Eugene Kitchen bakery rolls, and then you get your choice. And if you want more, you can get more. On this particular flight, it was peppered bistro steak, served with roasted creamer potatoes, broccoli, peppered Vidalia onions, and some kind of sauce I can't pronounce. Or you could get the chicken piccata. I got the Creole blackened salmon with bok choy, white bean puree, and butter bean salad. And it's like a cruise. And then for desserts, they have ice cream. They have chocolate cake, got cheeses. And then about 2 hours before you arrive, then they serve breakfast, omelets, muffins, get cereal. And the poor folks back, you know, in coach that, you know, and they're, you know, if they're lucky, they got a hamburger, and we're eating cold smoked trout and having, you know, cream brioche with whipped cream or something. So, but and the to go first class, I was amazed. From like New York to Barcelona, first class is about $9,000. Coach, it's about $1,800. So you can see why not very many people fly, you know, first class. So we get upgraded. So that's part of the fun. He went, I couldn't believe he did it, a couple of years ago, he went to Amsterdam. Just he was hungry. So he flew to New York, left in the evening, got a first class meal, got to Amsterdam. He was there for about 4 hours, walked around the city for a couple hours, got back in the plane, flew back that night.
And had a good meal.
Had a good meal coming back, yeah.
Not too bad. No. Not too shabby.
You get and Delta does a good job. They have what they call Delta Studio. So a lot of you have access to about 150, maybe 200 different kind of movies. There's audio you can listen to. They have live TV domestically, so you can. There's about maybe 10 or 15 TV channels you can watch. So, you know, you're not getting on a plane and just sitting there looking at a screen or looking outside for, you know, 8 or 9 hours. You're able to watch movies. We had an employee that worked downstairs. He wanted to catch a movie that was featured on Delta Studio. So he ended up flying to Denver, Colorado just to catch this movie. So, you know, we have a guy, he flies down to the Virgin Islands to just get, you know, some rum down there. So we have some strange employees that like to fly, but I said, you know what, I'm going to fly to Amsterdam for about 4 or 5 hours. And I left Wednesday afternoon, and I arrived back in Columbus Thursday evening. So,
perk of the job.
That is.
That's a nice perk to have. How are Americans treated in Europe at this point? Good?
They want our money.
There you go.
Surprisingly, we have never had one instance where somebody said, what do you think of Trump? Or, you know, and then that surprised me. I would have thought that we would have seen some demonstrations or some anti-American feelings or whatever, and can say all the time we've been to Europe, not once have we ever encountered anybody that kind of, Americans, you know, not once.
Well, that's interesting. What is the money situation like in other countries?
I'd say it's very comparable. With in Europe, you get the euro, and you get, you know, the nickels, dimes, quarters, 50-cent dollar, $2, $5 bills, $10 bills, and a euro is like 1 euro.
What was it, like 82 cents, it's, maybe to the, you know, to the American dollar.
So it's pretty. It's not like if you go to Korea or something, you know, 20,000 yen is it worth a candy bar or something like that. I would have trouble with that. But the euros are, if you're at a restaurant and you see, dinner for 22 euro or something, you can figure that's maybe $19 American, something like that. So it's pretty consistent. There's not a big difference with that.
You have to kind of adapt over there, and even Europe. A lot of these countries are merged with the euro and the European Union, but even different countries have different cultures. Like we were in Barcelona a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, you know, you start eating dinner at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, that's when people usually sit down to eat. And we were, we got up in the morning. We had a 10:30 a.m. flight. We left the hotel at 7:30 a.m., walked to the subway station, which is a 5-minute walk, walked by Starbucks. Starbucks is closed, 7:30 in the morning. Hardly anybody out on the road. So, in Spain, they start out, they work little later than usual. They go to dinner late. But then if you go to Amsterdam, it's finger foods and bar foods after 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because a lot of people in Amsterdam eat, a heavy lunch at like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, they sit down and have a Heineken for dinner, with friends or whatever. So you have to kind of adapt to the situation. Also, using the bathrooms over there, you have to pay. So a person like me, I'm fine because I don't use the bathroom as much. But I guess when you get older and like my father.
I wonder who that was directly.
Yeah. But I've never actually used a bathroom in Europe to pay. But, some of these bathrooms, even at like the train stations, you can wash up. Some of them may even have showers that you can use. So it's kind of a unique situation. If you go to like a Burger King to use the bathroom, you have to you have to buy a sandwich or something. So it's kind of an interesting.
It's usually about 50 cents if you have to use the restroom, and not all places charge. I mean, you can be, some places there's just restroom. You just go in and use the restroom if you have to. But a lot of places do charge, and it's usually like 50 cents if you have to use the restroom
for a trip. Kind of like you've taken overseas, how much money do you want to have on hand? What's a good metric?
When we went to Barcelona, I think I got $40 I converted into euro, basically for the subway or for the train. And then we just basically, the only thing we charge are the hotel and dinner. And we usually don't eat lunch. When we get there, as I said, we've had a good breakfast, and then we'll have dinner, then in the evening. And the next day, we'll just have one meal. So we usually will charge maybe two meals and then two nights at the hotel. And he'll just put it on, we'll just put it on a credit card.
What's the most interesting place you've been?
Ooh.
The bathrooms in Amsterdam.
Oh, no. Every city we've been in, we've really liked. I liked Rome and the Vatican. Rome was was like New York, just constantly busy. And the Colosseum and the history of Rome. We spent a whole day just doing Rome. I really liked Rome. Switzerland was a really pretty country. I liked Switzerland, and we liked Spain. Madrid. We both liked Madrid. We did Madrid and Barcelona, and kind of two different spots in Spain, but two very different cities. We really liked Madrid.
And where haven't you been that you want to go?
I want to go to Australia. I've never done South America or Asia. He wants to go to China or Japan or Korea. I'm not that anxious to go. Just, again, with the language, I think I might have some issues there, although I've talked to some people that have been, and they said, that's not that much of an issue. I'd like to go to Australia, but that's a long flight to Australia.
Now, China.
And I would like to go to London.
Haven't been to London.
No.
China's interesting, I would think, because you have a communist government. Is that just overlooked? People don't...
Yeah, I mean, it is surprisingly how many Americans do fly to China every day, even out of Columbus to Detroit to China. We have maybe 4 or 5 flights a day from the States to China, to Shanghai and Beijing. You know, there's a lot of business that goes on over there. A lot of business people fly over to China. So very surprising. We did drop a couple of years ago, which I wanted to get to it before we dropped it, was Moscow. Because I really wanted to, you know, a totally different, you know, language alphabet over there, just to see what it was like. There was one guy that I work with traveled over there, and him and another guy paid a 15-year-old kid when they were over there for 2 days. $50 a day, I think it was, because the only person that spoke English or that knew English pretty well. So, you know, just over in Moscow, I mean, it's you know, English is not spoken at all over there. So it would have been kind of interesting to go there. It is frustrating. When you get to a city, Munich was one where not a lot of English was spoken there. A lot of street signs, you know, you have streets that have like 20 letters, so you can't pronounce
it. That was the second trip we did. We did Munich, Austria, and Switzerland. And we both had flip phones at that time, and we were lost. And he's good with directions. And we'd want to go to a museum. And we were like 6 blocks, and it's like, I think we're going the wrong way. And it was hard to say, can you tell us where this place is or whatever? But he now has the smartphone, and he has, Rick Steves has an app of so many cities. And a lot of times, like when we were in Barcelona, he has the tour of the city. So we'll just go to the center of town and he'll turn on Rick Steves' app and we'll just kind of, you know, follow the tour. Mm-hmm. And it converts a lot of the words into English. So we didn't get lost at all when we were in Spain.
What have you learned from all this travel? What do you know now that you didn't know before?
How many people do travel? As I said, I never probably would have gotten to Europe. You know, the extent of my traveling until he got the job was, you know, U.S. and Niagara Falls kind of thing. We did a cruise once. But just how many people, you know, when you're in the airport, how many people from all over the world travel? Koreans, Japanese, a few weeks ago, I'd always wanted to go to the Canadian Rockies. So we flew to Calgary, and we rented a car, and we did British Columbia and Alberta. And I think there were as many Koreans and Japanese tourists as there were Americans and Canadians. And you see a lot of Asian tourists. I don't care where you are. You see a lot of Asian tourists. But just the amount of languages that are spoken and you know, even so in the U.S., I mean, if you're in Las Vegas, you hear all kinds of languages, you know, being spoken. But I think just how many people from how many countries, you know, do travel, and it's not that big of a deal.
Aside from D.C., New York, Hawaii, California, what is the best place to go in the United States that maybe people wouldn't think to go to?
Well, I would say for scenic would be Denver and the Colorado Rockies. Taking a trip up through Estes Park and through the Rockies in Colorado, it was beautiful, mind-boggling just to see the, you know, the sheer size of the mountains and stuff in Colorado. Also, Seattle, they're right over by Puget Sound. Seattle, beautiful city, right on the water. Great food, Pike's Market there. Those two cities would stand out.
When you prepare for a trip, what do you want to make sure to get done when you're going somewhere?
Doing it as cheap as possible. You want to see, like, museums a lot of times. I mean, we're not going to pay for excursions and, do a lot of the things that the tourists might do. We look to basically do it as cheap as we can. We do a lot of walking. And when we were in Barcelona, we got there about 10 in the morning, and we said, let's just see as much as we can. So we took the subway downtown, and, I mean, we probably walked, 12, 13 miles just that day. But you try and see as much as you can and basically spend as little money as you can. And so many of the museums, so many of those places are free anyway. As I said, other than paying for food and your lodging, a lot of the stuff, you walk and you just observe, and it's a great thing to just watch people.
You know, and a lot of these major cities, especially in Europe, have what they call hop-on bus. So you may go to like 15 or 20 different museums or different major sites in the city, and they drop you off, and then you can go in, and then, if you're there an hour, hour and a half, and then leave. But, you're talking $35-$40 a person to do that, and I've never done it, and I've heard a lot of people recommend it because it's a great way to see the city. But I'm like, well, why spend that money when you could just walk it and go to these places for free?
We just saved thousands of dollars by flying for free, and then we're going to, I'd rather spend $30 for a bus tour.
Is there a place that you've been that you thought would have been better than it was? Have you ever been unimpressed?
No, I can't say that. Every city we've been to, we've always had really good weather. We've always, when we've gone to Europe, it's always been during the summer, but the weather's always been good. I can't say I was ever disappointed in a city.
Where's the best food? Best food you've had on one of these trips?
I tell you, the best buffet is the Bocno Buffet at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. That is, you pay a price for it, but if you're like me and try to save cheap try to do it cheaply, so they start serving dinner at the buffet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, show up at 2:30 in the afternoon, get the lunch price, and then
there you go.
At 3 o'clock, hey, here comes the crab legs, here comes all the dinner. And you get the dinner for the lunch price. So, but that is the best buffet. Food-wise, there's been a couple of restaurants. There was a place called the Crab Pot, which was in Seattle, we ate at. You get what they call a crab boil, where basically it's just a whole bunch of seafood that they throw on the table for you, and you go at it. New Orleans, you get some great southern cooking down there and Creole cooking.
I really like New Orleans. As far as a European city, I don't know that there's, any European city that stands out, more than another. We've always had, pretty decent meals in Europe.
Are there places that it's difficult to get a flight to? Like, would England be a difficult place to get a flight to?
No, because London, we have Delta has a lot of flights to London. We have a lot of flights to Paris and Amsterdam. However, like Berlin, Germany has one flight a day. Prague, Nice. So if you're flying Delta and you're flying standby, and when we went to Berlin last month, you kind of get nervous because it's like, well, we only one flight a day. So if that flight is full or goes on maintenance or there's kind of some kind of an issue, then we're not going to get back that day. We're going to have to wait. It was pretty funny because I was checking my phone the day before and they had canceled the Wednesday flight from Berlin to JFK. And I'm like, well, I wonder why they canceled that flight. There was two flights that left the same day we did within 45 minutes of each other. So I had two flights, and it worked out great. We had two flights we could choose to JFK. So it actually worked out. No, as far as major cities in Europe like that, we fly Rome. Rome, we have like 3 or 4 flights a day. So, you know, the major cities in Europe, we do have flights, but your smaller cities like Nice, Prague, Berlin, Copenhagen, just one flight a day for those.
We went to Berlin in July, and that wasn't going to be one of my choices, but we knew we could get in and get out. And I was very impressed with Berlin. BMWs and Mercedes and Audis and really an ultra modern city. And of course, so much of Berlin was destroyed during the war. So, you know, they've built it up so much, but a very young city. I mean, I don't think I saw anybody as old as I was. I mean, just a lot of 20 and 30-year-olds, and a very vibrant city. And I still had visions of, you know, you see pictures of Berlin back in the 60s being very drab and kind of dreary, and it was not anything at all like that.
Mm. And overseas, is it easy to get around? We talked about directions, but fairly easy with the app and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
For people who are traveling.
The subways and the trains run on time. The subways run on time. Very clean. It's really a lot easier to get around in Europe than it is in the U.S. And so many people bicycle. You'll see lawyers and businessmen carrying their suitcases that, you know, are on their bikes. And so many of the cities have a lot of parks, and you don't see any obese people, and I say any, you might see one or two, and you figure they're probably an American, but Europe's very healthy, at least the cities we've been in. As I said, a lot of people bicycle, a lot of people walk to work, a lot of parks, and you see in the evening, a lot of people just go to the parks and they'll take a blanket, and there might be some, you know, a band will be playing, and it's very much relaxed. You don't feel like the hustle that you do in a lot of the U.S.
Are they as dependent overseas on technology as we are?
Yeah.
Is everybody walking around with a phone in their hand?
Everybody's walking around with a phone. Absolutely.
So that doesn't change anywhere.
No, that doesn't change.
Which state haven't you visited in the States?
We've been to all 50.
You've been to all 50?
Yeah.
And which was the best?
Colorado was very pretty. We liked Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, that just for the scenery. I kind of like that area.
Hawaii is, I fell in love with Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
we just did Honolulu. We just flew in and out of Honolulu. We didn't see any of the other islands, but Hawaii was very pretty with the Arizona and Diamond Head, and that was very nice.
Now, as far as trips for sporting events, how have those been for you? Went to the Fiesta Bowl?
I figured out, I've covered sports in 22 different states, and most of it was before he ever got the job. But you know, we'd go to Wisconsin, or we'd drive to Iowa for an Ohio State game. It's just something that we enjoy doing. We went a few years ago. Talk about cheap. Ohio State played at California. This was about 5 or 6 years ago. So we drove to Detroit Saturday morning. We took the direct flight from Detroit to San Francisco. Took the subway or the bus out to the stadium in Palo Alto. It was like $1.50, a person. We got credentials because we were covering, I was covering the game. At least I told him we were covering the game, and I put him down. So we got to sit in the press box, so it didn't cost us anything for the game. They fed us in the press box, of course, so we got to eat. And the game, I think, was a 4 o'clock game, maybe a 5 o'clock game. So we watched the game, took the bus back to the airport, and caught the midnight flight from San Francisco to Detroit. And we spent a total of $6, $3 a person, $1.50 both ways on the bus. So, you know, we spent the day in San Francisco. We saw an Ohio State football game. we ate and we spent a total of $6. Mm. That's pretty good.
That's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. Now, I wanted to ask you, with about 5 minutes left, with the season starting coming up, where's Ohio State going to go this year?
I think they'll about 10-2, I think. They're ranked number 5. That might be just a little high, I think, at this point with the new coach. A quarterback that's supposed to be very good, but again, he's untested. He's never played at Ohio State. I think there's some question marks. So, Ohio State's always going to be good, but this might be the year that a lot of good things are being said about Michigan. This might be the year that Michigan beats Ohio State. I don't know.
And locally, what's the team to watch locally?
Pleasant's always good.
Good.
Pleasant's always good.
And you'll be covering the games?
Starting Friday night. First game we're doing is Ridgedale-Ridgemont, but we'll get all of the teams in the first 4 or 5 weeks, and then we'll kind of pick and choose after that. But, yeah, still going to do the football and basketball. So we're actually going to be home now for a while. As I said, when we get, I retired basically the end of June. So July and August, we did even more traveling than I thought we would do. But I'm home now for a while.
Is there a place you have in mind you want to go when you resume the traveling?
We want to go up to the Maritimes. Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland. Now you can't fly into those places. You'd have to, drive, rent a car, do something like that. But I really have always wanted to do the Maritimes. Prince Edward Island, that area, I'd like to do that.
How difficult is it with car rental? Does that become a pricey issue?
We've only rented a car. We've never rented a car in Europe or in Canada. We've always just rented, cars in the U.S. And not too bad. In Europe, we always take either the train or the subway.
What becomes the biggest issue when you travel financially? Obviously, not the ticket, not the car.
Hotels, the hotel prices.
He can get some really good prices in hotels.
Hotel prices and also, restaurants. I mean, that's kind of, sometimes you eat at a nice restaurant and, you walk out 50, 60 bucks, with two. But I try to, if I can try to get a good hotel rate, but I would say that would be probably more, you're looking at least, especially in Europe, I try to look for a hotel that's in downtown, that's centrally located, so you can just walk everywhere. But, I stayed at a Courtyard by Marriott in Berlin for $110 a night. So, you can't beat that.
And is this the position you want to stay in?
It's one. I'm going to eventually have to leave Columbus and go to a hub. I want to experience like a hub. Atlanta might be a little too big, but we have what we call Ramp Tower, which I do work sometimes in operations in the evenings. Gate plotting where planes go, talking to pilots, kind of the middle person in between the ramp, the gates, and talking to the pilots and the crew. So I eventually want to move up into a different position and move elsewhere. But,
with about 60 seconds left, there was so much flight talk after September 11th. Have things calmed down?
Yeah, things have calmed down, and I think right now is kind of the cheapest I think it's been in years for how much traveling, flying is in the United States. I saw one, it was like $184 to go, I want to say, from Columbus to L.A. nonstop. So you can get some good, reasonable prices now, I think, for flying.
What's the best way to do that? Book far in advance?
Book far in advance and just keep an eye on prices and go to different websites. And the best days to book is actually on a Wednesday or Thursday for flying. So look at, go to websites on Wednesdays and Thursdays and look to see what the prices are.
Hmm. Interesting. And what have you learned from all this travel, Jeff?
It's fun.
It's fun.
It really is. I didn't know traveling could be as much fun as it has been.
So it's been a good time.
It's been a good time.
Will continue to be a good time.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Jeff and Brian Ruth giving us their travel log over the last few years. Interesting stuff here on WWGH Radio. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about the new version of the Old Farmer's Almanac, which is just out, and we'll have the assistant editor on, so we'll talk all about the weather tomorrow morning. So I'll be back then. Stay tuned for more programming. We're right ahead here on WWGH Radio.
Danny's daughter. No, that's Marlo.
Oh, that's right, Marlo.
They keep calling me Marlo sometimes. I say, no, that's Marlo Thomas. I said, Marlo has the money, and Marla is after it.
Do you regret not as many awards, things like that? Does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward.